Ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to Head Games, the science and psychology of sports. I'm Dr. Brett Levine, joined as always by Dr. Ben Rosenberg. Our guest today is one of the top Los Angeles Dodgers prospects. He's a power-hitting outfielder playing for his hometown team, DJ Peters. DJ, welcome to Head Games.
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. First and foremost, congratulations. You most recently got married. So tell us, like, what's it like getting married during a pandemic? Is there some complications, or was it just smooth? It was easy?
Yeah, no. I think we had three different plans fall through. And then on the fourth one, we kind of just said, you know, we're going to go all in. And luckily, you know, we could have it at a family's, you know, estate. And, you know, it was private. It was perfect. Couldn't have gotten any better. So the COVID shutdowns and stuff like that, obviously it was difficult, but, you know, we made it happen. And, you know, my wife is a rock star with that, man. She, kudos to her.
Yeah. Congrats, that's awesome. And my, congrats again. I mean, I can't imagine. Fortunately, my sister was supposed to get married initially last year. They canceled it and then moved the date up. They canceled it again. They're, you know, fingers crossed, we're going to do it maybe in next fall. But I mean, I think they'll probably get to a certain point, like you guys didn't say, screw it, let's just do this thing.
Yeah, we were very, very fortunate because, I mean, everything shut down, right? So, you know, we kind of had to go through all these plans and ideas. And luckily her, you know, one of her family members opened up their beautiful home to us, and it worked out perfect. Couldn't have been any better. Honestly, it was probably a lot better than our, you know, original idea. So we definitely lucked out. Very, very blessed.
Congrats.
That's awesome, man. Silver linings. Yeah. Congratulations again.
Yeah.
You're well on your way to wedded bliss. You already shouted out your wife. So I feel like that's the,
Been there, done that.
All you need to learn is to say yes to everything your wife asks. And I think you'll
there you go.
But
there
it sounds like you're already doing that. So let's talk a little bit of ball. Obviously, that's why we're here. And I want to talk a little bit about
I thought this was a wedding podcast. We don't want to just
all you're right. I forgot. No, actually, I don't want to talk more about weddings. Let's talk about baseball. I want to talk a little bit about your approach at the plate, right? Like, obviously, a big part of your game is power. And we were looking through some of your stats from the minors, and it looks like almost half the time you walk, hit a jack, or strike out. So talk us through a little bit of your approach at the plate. What's going through your head? Kind of, what are you thinking about?
You know, I like to, you know, obviously I'm a big, strong dude. You know, power is going to be part of my games. And, you know, what comes with power is walks and, you know, also strikeouts. Obviously you want to, you know, have more of the other two than, you know, like the one, but kind of like how the game plays out. Sometimes, you know, that, you know, if that happens, that's very, very rare. But, you know, you just got to keep on grinding, man. You know, got to, you know, improve each and every year. And I feel like ever since I've signed, you know, every single year, my strikeout numbers have gone down. My walks have gone up. My, you know, power numbers have gone up, whether that's on base percentage or walks, like I said, or slugging percentage or average too. So, you know, in the minor leagues, it's all about development. And, you know, I feel like each and every step that I've, you know, carried throughout from signing has, you know, gotten better in, you know, different categories that kind of sums up into one complete player.
You're at the plate. Are you thinking, I'm going to hunt anything down the middle, anything looks like a strike, I'm just going to let it go? Do you make a two strike adjustment? Do you make any adjustments, or you're just like, I'm going for it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a really good solid plan whenever I, you know, walk up to the plate. I do my homework before the games. Whoever we're facing that night, with whoever's in the bullpen, I've seen videos of them. I have, you know, like their percentage and stuff like that. And then, you know, what kind of what I think that they're going to do, you know, to me, I have that plan walking into the box. Obviously, sometimes pitcher throws good pitches, got to tip your hat. You know, sometimes he throws a bad pitch and I get him, he has to tip his hat. So that's to me is like the beautiful thing about the game is, you know, like kind of like, you know, you're playing chess, not checkers, you know? So, but you know, two strike approach, percentages, runners on base, kind of, you know, different kind of situations, throughout and a bat throughout every pitch goes on. And not only the hitter's head, but also, you know, the pitcher's head.
I gotta
are you guessing for, sorry, go ahead.
This just came to me. So for a little bit of background, Mad Bum was rehabbing back in 2017. Mm-hmm. And there's an infamous story about you hitting two jacks off of him in the same inning.
Right.
I mean, were you sitting slider every time? And you're just like, nobody's going to throw. Like,
no. You know, it's actually funny that like you bring that up. And like, whenever I do podcasts or interviews, that always gets brought up. But my, you know, big thing with that game was that like, we all hit him that day. Like, it wasn't just me. You know, obviously I kind of get highlighted because I hit two in one inning, but I'm pretty sure he allowed, I think, four homers and four innings. And like, I mean, I'm pretty sure we put up like 10 on him. So like, obviously like I get kind of highlighted out, which is a blessing, but like, I got to give credit to my teammates and, you know, our hitting coach for putting together just a solid plan.
Yep. Good man. Good man. Crediting the coaches. That's true. Like, I guess if it was a standout, you could say like, yeah, I had him pinned, but,
I guess. Yeah, no, we all hit him that day. I mean, we obviously we were all jacked up to face him. Right. I mean, that's why you play the game, is to face a 3-time World Series champion. And, you know, was one of the best pitchers on the planet for a good stretch, you know. So obviously it felt amazing, but it was amazing seeing everybody face him and hit him as well.
Yeah. Was he off? Was he just off that day? Is that why everybody's hitting him?
I think maybe.
Taking pitches? I mean, what's going on?
No, I don't know. I mean, we all just saw him. Well, like I said, we all had an amazing plan going in. And, you know, his tendencies, and we kind of, you know, we all just hit him well. It's just one of those days for us and one of those days for him.
I mean, this is all you that can edit this out. But so one of the, I guess, things that we're thinking about as we're looking at your stats is that you remind us of some of the big power hitters from the 90s, right? Like like you said, you're a big dude. Power is a big part of your game. Is there anybody that you model your game after, like anybody from that era or the current era that you really look to model your game?
You know, I've always gotten comps to like, kind of like a Jason Worth, or like sometimes body comparison and, you know, playing outfield, of course, Aaron Judge, but, or like a Richie Sexton, like kind of like those kind of comps is what I've gotten before. And, you know, I see a lot of kind of similarities, big guys play the outfield, or, you know, is really just known for the bat, who are all great, great players who had great careers. Aaron Judge obviously still playing, but, you know, the other two played 10 plus years and did amazing. So, you know, I kind of, you know, like to kind of make myself my own kind of player. Obviously there's a lot of similarities, and, you know, I kind of leave that to other people. You know, for me, I just like to go out there and play and, you know, improve, like I said, every year, whether that's in a couple categories or every category, you know, to just be the best complete player I could be.
Where do you think it's going to go? You want to be your own player. You want to be DJ Peters in a couple of years. What does your game look like?
You know, I want to be a, you know, tremendous outfielder, a complete hitter, and a great teammate on and off the field and in the clubhouse. You know, that's what I want to be known for, and also just a great, you know, player, but also a great person to the fans, to the media, to you know, my teammates, and, you know, want to be a leader.
This guy's got good answers. This guy's got great answers.
Seriously. Yeah, no, it seems like, at least for a lot of those things, you're well on your way there. In terms of on-field stuff, hitting, playing the outfield, what are some of the concrete things that you're looking to improve this year and for the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's no kind of secret, you know, the Dodgers are stacked. You know, we have, I mean, our pitching staff all the way down to our bullpen to our lineup is just, oh my gosh. And I mean, our minor league system. And the amazing thing is that like, we win in the big leagues, but also we win in the minor leagues. And like, we like sign these great, amazing players. And then we also have a great farm system. It's just all the way, literally from like when you sign to the tip of the iceberg, it's just just, you want to be a good dude first. And then if you're a good dude, you know, like kind of check that box, you're going to be a great athlete. And, you know, I absolutely love it here. You know, like the culture, the, you know, atmosphere, the presence is just, you know, like you are expected to win every night. And, you know, they're going to give you all of the resources to win every night. And then, like, it's up to you, which is, which is what I absolutely love, because I love, you know, like the work before the game, after the game, the video, the analysis, you know, the swing, watching what the pitcher is going to do to me, what I want to do to the pitcher. So, you know, like they're going to give you all of those resources, and like it's on you to kind of execute those and use those to your advantage.
Yeah, it helps to lean into the resources that you have. Mm-hmm. I love what you said. I mean, you mentioned that, like, number one, be a good dude. It's interesting because this is a podcast on psychology, and my head went into like, oh, culture. And when you said that, it reminded me of like the Cardinals. You know, the big thing with the Cardinals is the Cardinal way. And it was just, I don't know if it was like be a good dude, but it was like, what do you look for? We look for guys who do a lot of the things that you're mentioning, which is like do their homework, be a good person, willing to learn. So it's nice to hear that. It's nice to hear that, like, and what it sounds like is that that's the culture of the Dodgers, but that's also DJ Peters, that you feel like you're a good fit for the system.
Yeah, no. I feel like if you're not a good dude, one, like you're not going to last here. And two, you know, you will get weeded out, and that's just how it works. I mean, you know, like this is an amazing game, and this is one of the best organizations in all of sports, up and down from the DSL to the big leagues. And like I said, you are expected to win, and you are expected to be a great teammate, and, you know, be a great dude first.
I like that. This is, I mean, you mentioned this earlier as well. Like, it's no surprise that the Dodgers are stacked. They're getting, you know, they won the World Series last year. They're getting David Price back. They signed Trevor Bauer. Where do you see yourself fitting in the roster, realistically or even theoretically? Like,
right.
You know, picture it for us.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So I think, you know, we gained tremendous players. I mean, David Price didn't even pitch last year, and we won the World Series. And, you know, you have Walker, you have Kirsch, you have Julio, you have Dustin, you have Tony, you have Trevor, you have, I mean, so many options. We signed Blake Treinen back. We have Gratterall on the bull. I mean, we have so many amazing pieces that kind of go under the radar when you sign guys like Trevor Bauer, which is great for us because they kind of just sneak underneath them, you know, like the kind of mat, so to say. Then, you know, these guys come at you like a wrecking ball, man, and it's truly, truly amazing to see, and being able to be around these guys a lot, and not just from like the pitching staff, but also, like, you know, we signed Justin Turner back, Max Muncy, Belly, my Mookie, AJ, the list goes on, right? I mean, Corey. So it's a tremendous group to be around. And, you know, losing Jock and Kike to free agency, wishing them nothing but the best. But, you know, hopefully with those guys being gone and, you know, a couple spots needing, you know, to be filled, hopefully that, you know, I get, you know, that shot, that, you know, opportunity. Cause, you know, once I get that shot and that opportunity, I know that I'm just going to absolutely run away with it.
Yeah. So those are some lost outfield ABs to your point, right? That hopefully
you could
jump in and take.
Yeah. From Kike being right-handed to also playing obviously infield, but also outfield too. And Jock being and you know, a power hitting outfielder, obviously best left-handed, but, you know, from that power hitting outfielder standpoint, I feel like that I'm in a pretty good spot to, you know, hopefully get a shot and, you know, hopefully get an opportunity this season.
Along the lines of us being a podcast about psychology, a big area for research for Ben and I is team chemistry in sports. A lot was made about the Rays last year. You know, I think it's sort of a stereotype that like smaller market teams rely on chemistry to sort of make up for, you know, lower amounts of, you know, money out there. But talk to us about the Dodgers. Like it's a big payroll, but I still think, and you've alluded to this, that there's still a decent amount of team chemistry with this team.
Yeah.
You were at the World Series last year. Speak to us about that vibe.
Yeah, no, an absolute blessing. I mean, obviously a weird year with COVID and all that stuff, but, you know, being able to be there for 6 weeks and in a bubble, which is weird enough in itself, was, you know, to come out on top against, we played three great teams, San Diego Padres, Atlanta Braves, Tampa Bay Rays, three teams that got better this offseason who want to be back in that position. That's what makes the game so much fun. You know what I mean? Is that not just, we didn't just get better, but the teams around us that we played to get to the World Series and like be champions got better as well, because they want to go back too. And that's, to me, is, you know, what, you know, makes this game so much fun. But Going back to like the like team chemistry part, you know, that is the number one goal here. You know, if you're not a good dude, you know, you're just not going to fit in. You won't. And, you know, I'm just being honest. You won't fit in. Everyone here is your best friends, great friends. And, you know, they get along off of the field, so like if you get along off of the field, right, and you're all best friends, you're going to want to compete on the field, which is what this culture brings here.
Is there anybody in the organization that's like pushing you guys to, as you said, be a good dude or to be best friends, to relate to each other, to build that chemistry? Like, is it Dave Roberts? Is it coming from up higher than that? Is it the players themselves? Like, who's pushing that?
Yeah, Dave Roberts is tremendous. He's one of the best managers ever, in my opinion, and absolutely love having him as a manager. Him and then also Justin Turner. I mean, that's Justin Turner is, you know, the backbone. He's, you know, the leader, the veteran, so to speak, from the offensive side. And then of course, Mookie too, from the, I mean, when you start throwing around all these names, you kind of start to forget a couple, you know what I mean? It's amazing. And then now we have Trevor Bauer and, you know, Walker is a great leader. Kirsch is outstanding, but you know, if I had to pick two, it'd probably be, Kirsch and JT for sure.
Is there anything that those guys do that sticks out in your mind that's like, this is why I think of them as good leaders?
Yeah, I think it, just from, you know, what I mean, like when we were down 3-1, you know, there was to the Braves in the NLCS, there was no panic, there was no hesitation. I mean, we came in and knowing that we were going to win, knowing that, you know, it's just another baseball game. That, you know, we've been there before, we've played in games like that before, and they haven't. So, you know, kind of just having that kind of confidence going in was huge, and having guys like JT and Kirsch that have been there millions of times before and have gone through this and been in this situation, it just helped all of the younger guys that haven't been in that situation have more trust in them.
Nice. Very nice. You got to come up. You mentioned you were up for 6 weeks during the playoffs.
Yeah. I was on the taxi squad deal.
Right. For the playoffs. What was that? I mean, talk about a weird season with COVID, but
Yeah,
what was that like with COVID, being on the taxi squad? Like,
yeah, it was definitely different. You know, once you saw a fan in the stands, there wasn't a cardboard cutout. It was a little weird. So sometimes I feel like you almost got startled from like actual noise. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, it was that new ballpark's amazing in Texas, and you know, we would you know, do our work in the morning, and then we would, you know, watch the game, and you know, we were there for every single pitch, every single, you know, moment of the postseason, and like it started back in LA when we played the Brewers in the wild card series. That was kind of when the bubble started. So it was awesome, man.
Yeah. I love that. Like, weird to see a non cardboard person in the stands. Was that atmosphere, you think, good for the cohesion of the team? Like, did that make you guys feel really together and included?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it helped all the guys out there playing on the field. And I think it helped, because it kind of felt normal again, you know what I mean? Kind of felt normalized. So yeah, man, it was definitely a different season, but a season that, you know, nobody will ever forget. And a season that, you know, the Dodgers personally will hold dear to their hearts for sure.
Yep. Not us, but probably Dodger fans. As we've mentioned so many times on this podcast. Yeah. Ben and I from the Bay Area. This is, I never wanted to talk so much about the Dodgers, but
You're welcome.
Hopefully the Giants can at least find themselves in contention in due time, in a few years. All right, let's we want to play a little game with you. It is not name your blood type or your social security number. We want to make you some predictions out of you, if you could. So this was going around Twitter and fans were weighing in, but I think it would be interesting to hear this from you. So predict from your team, so from the Dodgers, this season, give me a record end of the season.
Okay. Let's go with 102 and 60.
I was gonna say triple digits. It's gotta be. It's gotta be in reach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
102 and 60.
All right. Cy Young for the Dodgers.
I'm gonna go with Walker Buehler. I think he is tremendous pitcher. I think an even better dude. And I think he just gets better every single year. But it's tough, man. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It's like
you can pick anybody on the staff, dude.
You could pick literally. You could pick anybody. It's like, I mean, honestly, you could pick a guy in the minor leagues because our farm system's just truly unbelievable. Where, you know, if you're getting called up, you're trusted, and you know. So, but I'm gonna go with Walker. I think he's a bulldog out there, and I'm gonna go with him.
Solid choice. All right. How about MVP?
I'm going to go with Mookie.
I was wondering, Belly, Mookie, top
choice. Yeah, really. I mean, come on. Seager, you can't. Like I said, man.
Again, like you can't go wrong.
I'm like, not. I'm picking, but it's like you could pick out of a hat because they're all. Let's just say that those three guys would be the best players on, I mean, so many teams. So I'm going to go with Mookie.
Fair enough. I don't think anybody would argue that. This one's a little bit tougher and I think a little bit more interesting. I want to hear what you have to say for breakout player.
I'm going to go with myself. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with myself.
Yeah.
But I like if it. We had, but that is a great question. Everyone's amazing. But I would like to see David Price come back after not pitching for a full year. You know, competitively come back and just dominate. So I don't know if it's comeback player because he's, you know, David Price, he's Cy Young Award winner, but I'm going to since he didn't pitch last year due to the situations with COVID, I'm going to go with him because I feel like he's kind of in that category.
I'll tell you what, we have one of the questions was comeback player of the year. So I'll give that to Price, but I like the
breakout. We're going with you.
Yeah, I like
there you go.
All right.
There you go. Yeah, I'm gonna go with myself. How about that? You gotta have a little confidence, gotta have a little flair, you know what I mean?
That's fine.
Got to.
Chiseled in stone. Reliever of the year.
I'm gonna go with Blake Trident. Dude's nasty, man. Dang.
Dude's nasty. Dude, that sinker, like I can't imagine 97 with that.
Dude's nasty,
that's
dude.
Stupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you faced him?
Yeah. Yeah, when he's on, he's on. When he's on, he's on.
Yeah.
And he's, but I mean, dude, you can't go wrong with anyone, man. I mean, you got Gratterall, who's nasty, but I'm gonna go with Blake. He had a really good bounce back year last year from the year before. And within 60 games, he got a lot of high pressure innings and situations and, you know, the World Series and the playoffs. So I think he's going to carry that into 2021. So I'm going to go with him.
Yep. Blake, Trinan had it was like a great year with the A's. And then it was in
2018. He had like a below one.
Yeah. It was nasty.
Yeah. Or a 19, one of the two. It was either 18 or 19. And then I think he got injured. And then it was 18. 18, he had a below one. Yep. 19, he got injured. 20, he had a great bounce back year. I think he's going to have another great year.
Not a bad pick, man. Solid pick. Okay, last one, and I can probably guess what your answer is going to be. Playoff finish for the Dodgers this year.
Come on. 2021 World Series champions. Back-to-back years.
All right. This was one of the more difficult interviews I've ever had to do, as I'm sure Ben can attest to as well. But it's also blasphemous for me to say this, but we're thankful for you for coming on, and we are rooting for you. You mentioned the Dodgers being a collection of good dudes. We think you're a good dude, and thanks so much for being on Head Games.
Thank you guys so much. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, DJ. Appreciate it, man.
Real quick, you're on Twitter @8Peters.
Yes, @8Peters.
Awesome. Please rate and subscribe to the show where applicable. Thanks as always to our editing team for putting together everything we've seen today and or heard. You can find us on Twitter @HeadGamePsych. You can find me on Twitter @DrBrettLevine. You can find that guy on Twitter @BD Rosenberg PhD. And thanks as always for tuning in.